You're listening to the Canadian Country Music Podcast. Here's your host, Tim Alves.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Canadian Country Music Podcast. This is episode 8. I am your host, Tim Albertson, a Canadian country music artist and lover who has been infatuated with every aspect of the Canadian country music world. The ins, the outs, the moments behind the stage and the songs behind the business, and of course, share our stories with our fans. On today's episode, we have 15 new music releases this week, including tracks from Gord Bamford, Tay Bay, Chase Stevens, and our pick of the week. We're also going to be taking a moment to have a heart-to-heart conversation. And, of course, our feature artist of the week this week, Jeff Caddo, will be on the podcast shortly. But before we begin, June is Pride Month, and our amazing sponsor has put together my new favorite product. And it's all in support of Thunder Pride. Hooligan Fuel Hot Sauce has introduced their new honey habanero-infused hot sauce called Be Proud. And also, their new website launches this Friday. They have all of their sauces available for worldwide shipping. So on Friday, go check them out at Hooligan, that's H-O-O-L-I-G-A-N, fuel.com. But until then, you can still find them on Facebook at www.facebook.com/hooliganfuelhotsauce. Let them know you found them from us and support this absolutely incredible company and an even more incredible cause. All right, everyone, here we go. It's time for the new releases this week. This week's new releases have been brought to you by Soundcheck Entertainment.
Shout out, Soundcheck!
Canadian country music playlist on Spotify. So here we go. Our pick of the week this week, an absolutely incredible song by an incredible duet couple, Cross Parallel with Better With Time. Go check them out. Number one spot on the Canadian country playlist with Soundcheck Entertainment. We also have Another Little Roadside Kiss by Chase Stevens, What the Truck by The Wrecklaws and Sasha, Wildflowers by Andrew Hyatt, Fishing by Gord Bamford, Nothing Makes Sense Without You by Big City Lights, Kryptonite by Bree Taylor, Fall Asleep Alone by The Prairie States, Song of the Summer Poolside Mix by Tay Bay, Tell You Everything by Robin Ortolini. Also, big shout out to Robin Ortolini getting a gold record for her single F-150. Congratulations, Robin, on that incredible accomplishment. Home Team by Carly June. Better Men by Matt Jordan. Take My Breath Away, the acoustic version by New Law. Karma by Haley Jensen. And 'Cause I've Seen You by Jeff Ferguson. All right, now it's time for a serious talk. So I'm sure you guys have all heard by now that 215 unmarked children's remains were found under a former Kamloops residential school this past week. 215 lives, stripped from homes, crammed into horrid conditions, and just disappeared overnight. So I really want to have an honest conversation about this, and I encourage you all to head over to our Facebook group and continue this conversation. I truly believe that we live in the greatest country in the world. Our healthcare is free, our beer is stronger, our weed is legal. I feel very lucky to be a part of this great nation. I know there are millions of people in this world that don't have it nearly as good as I do because I was born in Canada. I grew up in a town called Herkett. In Herkett, we had places called Dorian and Nipigon and Red Rock and McDermott, or the Rocky Bay First Nation. My entire life, I was surrounded by First Nations communities and friends. I learned about their cultures, their beliefs, their traditions, and through that, I gained a great deal of respect for the First Nations communities. In high school, I was taught about the European settlers in Canada and that they had brought over diseases which spread throughout the First Nations communities and significantly depleted their population. And it was then that my eyes were opened to an entire new history of my country. I learned and I understood to the best I could about our past, but when news broke out this week about the 215 unmarked children's bodies, ranging in ages, with the youngest being 3 years old. 3 years old. What hurt even more was that looking back into the records, the residential school in Kamloops registered 50 deaths in their history. 50. Way shy of 215. Now, when something bothers me or I'm looking for answers, I tend to go to the source when I can. I want to know it from the person who said it or the people who know it firsthand. And this was no different. I reached out to friends of mine who are very deep into their First Nation culture, and I asked them how. How is it that I went 31 years in this country and not knowing the kind of genocide had taken place in our own backyard? That residential schools could do this and why I was never taught this. It pissed me off. I can't even imagine the pain and the heartache these families went through. As a father myself, the thought of someone taking my kids away and never knowing what happened to them again, there are no words for that. We cannot begin to brighten our future until we acknowledge our past. We ask questions, we get answers, we learn from it, so it can never happen again. I encourage you all to seek conversation. Ask how you guys can support. The entire country is in mourning right now, and we need to band together with our people to rise up together from this. Love is free, and we all need that right now. Now, in today's podcast, we have Mr. Jeff Caddo. Originally hailing from Owen Sound, Ontario, Jeff's career started out on the farm, writing songs and singing at the local country jamboree. With aspirations of becoming a country music star, he got to open up for Sean Hogan, Diane Chase, Dwayne Steele, Gil Grand, and Jake Matthews on Sean's annual Christmas tour. After high school, Jeff toured Canada playing bars and events, opening up for Derek Rattan, Gord Bamford, and playing the small town circuit. He then approached Aaron Perchette with the single Summertime, which Aaron cut, and he was able to play some shows and events with him. After some years off, Jeff found faith and began working on his craft and releasing Christian music to radio, garnering 15 top 10 singles in Canada and playing over 200 shows a year. He is now back at it in the country music scene and his new single, Round of Life. Jeff is a father of six. Nova, Talon, Chloe, Bodie, River, and Willow, and is a husband to Brooke. And they all reside in Woodstock, Ontario. As Jeff will state, he has been in the game for a very long time, performing in both the country music genre as well as the Christian music genre. He's used tricks from each fan base and incorporated them into his others. He's got a lot of knowledge, and he is an absolutely incredible human being and just an overall great guy. So you know the deal. Kick back, put the kids in class, or keep them still sleeping because you gave up on online classes. There's no judgments here, guys, because this podcast begins in 3, 2, 1. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Canadian Country Music Podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, hello, everyone. If you are watching the premiere, make sure you click into the live chat button and chat with us. If you are listening on any major podcast streaming platform, such as Spotify or Anchor, thank you so much for tuning in and listening in. This week, we have Jeff Caddo. Hailing from Owen Sound, this gentleman has opened up for acts such as Gord Bamford and Derek Rattan, and also has a single cut by another Canadian country artist, but I will let you hear that from him. He also has a song that just hit 50,000 streams on Spotify in just over 1 month. We get to talk to him all about that. So please, everybody, welcome to the podcast, Mr. Jeff Caddo.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Good, my man. How are you?
I'm awesome.
That is great. So, Jeff, congratulations, man. Like 50,000 streams on Spotify. For a gentleman here who is hardly pushing 500, 50,000 is one hell of a feat.
I just so happen to know what I'm doing with social media. I don't know. I think there's a lot of fans probably hearing my country stuff for the first time. I am a Christian artist outside of doing this, so mm-hmm. I think a lot of my Christian fans are now hearing country for the first time, and I got a pretty decent stream of those, so you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you find, like, are they in a positive aspect, or are they kind of like, we kind of want you back in our genre?
No, they're very, very, very cool about it. I mean, I still released another Christian song recently, so it's not like I'm out of it. But actually, I think that you'd find that they're finding out a little bit more about myself and my family through this music, more than just sing songs directly about Jesus, right? So
yeah, absolutely.
So I think that they're probably learning a little bit more about me. And just my love for my family. So it's been pretty good so far.
That's pretty wicked, actually. And I mean, if you really look at it and you peel back the layers, I mean, country music and Christian music are very, very co-mingled together. You can't have one without the other, almost.
It's true. It's true. I was just saying to somebody the other day, you know, there is so much Jesus in country music. It's just kind of a way of life, you know, church pews. There's so many songs. I prayed for you. Like, come on.
Yeah.
All right. So
I was actually watching a documentary the other day, and like the music in Nashville started at a church.
Really?
Yeah. It was a black church that had started. And I guess from there, I believe it was that they started recording some of the artists. So artists from outside of the community would come there, and that's how we got our country music. And then it just kind of grew and branched out into Nashville, which is incredible.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
I can't remember what it was called, but it's a Nashville songwriters thing. And I just YouTubed it, and that's what popped up. And I was like, well, that's incredible.
Cool, man. Yeah.
So Jeff, for people who don't know who you are, who are brand new to your music today, can you give just a brief bio of yourself?
I started out by going on Canadian Idol. I went down with a girlfriend at the time, and I just kind of wanted to skip school, so I went down and we actually sang in the parking lot for people who weren't the judges because there were so many people.
Yeah, yeah.
So, to like pass on to the next round type of thing, and so I was fortunate enough to be able to move on a couple rounds, and but that kind of woke up the whole thing of, hey, I want to sing. Like that seems like a pretty cool thing. And I had written songs, poetry, like prior to that, kind of for forever. And so, so I started doing stuff like in my school, learned how to pick up a guitar, which I actually almost failed my guitar class.
Really?
Because I didn't want to learn tab, right? I just wanted to play chords.
True that. Who's got time for tab?
I'm a lead guitar player. I got buddies who can do that. Like, so we did that, and so I kind of dove right into country music. And growing up, my parents were split, and my mom lived in Toronto, my dad in Owen Sound. And my mom and my stepdad were pastors. So I grew up in the church kind of thing. And when I was little, she said that I had a word over me that I was going to be a worship leader in the same leagues as Brian Dirksen and David Roos. And these two people were pretty big worship leaders and artists in the church, right? And So I dove right into country, kind of got the furthest away from God. I played, and I got a pretty big head about me too. I thought I was pretty good. And so I ended up reaching out to, when I was like early 20s, I reached out to Aaron Perchett.
Yeah.
And I got to, like, thankfully enough, he responded and it kind of checked me out on YouTube a bit and was like, hey, I'm really interested in your music. Like, I'd love to cut one of your songs. And so, so Summertime was there and so he decided to cut it, and he actually flew me out to BC, and I lived with him for about a month, and I got to write with Dallas Smith, got to meet all these guys that were out. Yeah, it was totally cool. we got to play at a couple local bars. Like, we just showed up one night and like they were like, oh, you guys got to play. So I got to like get up and play with them, and like it was really, really cool, and I got to meet some people that I probably wouldn't have ever had the chance to.
I'm not envious at all, right?
So with all of that, I came back home, and I thought that I was my trajectory was going in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, as an artist, I think one of the things that I always struggled with was like, people were like, you're good, like you're really good, your songs are good, but you don't have any money behind you.
Yeah.
And so I decided that I was going to put on a big concert, and I actually had Aaron come up and a bunch of other artists, and I put on an event, and it ended up raining the entire weekend, and I lost $75,000. And so in the end, just being young and dumb, it was a really big learning experience. But I basically stepped away from country music, any music, period.
No doubt. Like that's gotta put a hurt in there, eh? Like
it was a pretty big it was a pretty big thing because it took a while for me to pay that money back.
Mm-hmm.
And to get it sorted out. And so obviously, I thought that I had hurt my time with the people that I had, like with Aaron's people. And, so we put everything down. We moved away from our hometown, cause that would also put a pretty big sting in there as well. And I was selling cars, at a dealership in Waterloo.
Mm-hmm.
And a pastor came in, and after 10 minutes of talking to me, he said, Jeff, I don't know who you are, but I feel like God's telling me that you're supposed to be writing songs for Jesus. And so right then and there, I gave my life to Christ. Said, you know what? Like, if you could still want me after all this stuff that I've done, after the like drinking, drugs, like carrying on, like if he still wants me, if he still wants to use my story, I'll give it to him. So pretty much right away after that, I started writing with people out of Nashville that I once again had no business being with. Like, there's a band, out of Nashville. There's a guy by the name of Mike Donahue who, is just a phenomenal, guy. And they had a band, and it's escaping my mind right now. It's one of my favorite bands. I can't remember what it is, but I love this band. And it just so happens that the dude who produced my first Christian record was the bass player for this band.
No doubt.
Yeah. And like, I had no idea when I made these phone calls, but it was amazing, man. I basically stepped into the Christian industry, and had impact right away. And I think it's just, I made so many mistakes, doing the country thing. So many mistakes trying to do it my own way, trying to like drag everybody into a studio, and like, you know how easy it is to call up dudes in Nashville and just be like, hey, can you just do this? Like, this is what I want it to sound like. This is what it is.
Yeah, sure. I got 5 minutes. I'll be right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
so it's so it was pretty wild story. Anyways, I've done really well in Christian. But I kind of felt convicted that for a really long time I hadn't written anything about my wife and my kids and just like, the love that I have for them. And so I started to again, and so all these songs came out, and I was just like, man, I got to put something together and just put it out there for the world to have a go at, and it's been a really great response so far. I mean, just like the redemption story, I wouldn't, if you had asked me if I saw myself here, I wouldn't have said that. So it's pretty neat backstory. So.
No kidding. And I mean, like, just the concept of just being that almost young and dumb, and just the least they could say is no type attitude when you're going up to talk to like Aaron Pritchett and all the songwriters and whatnot, like just reaching out to them, just almost that, that, not that arrogant kind of kid, but you know what I mean? Like just that, I don't even know what the worst they could even do to me is, right?
Oh, I was pretty arrogant. looking back on it, man, I if I could give my 16-year-old self a talking to, it'd be for any of you new artists that are listening, I know you guys don't know who I am, but I've been around for a really long time. Like it's been like 15 more years or more years in this. And, it's funny because when I met Aaron was mm-hmm. like, man, Aaron was like 34 when he started. Right.
Yeah.
So like, you got to think, like, it took years and years and years of time and sweat and like to mm-hmm. put in this. But if I could tell my younger self, it'd be to be humble and, you know, like not many people in this world get to do what they love for a living.
No.
You know, like the fact that we get to make music and we get to share it with people, and like the music that we create has the ability to impact somebody's life in such a way that it's changing. Like it's life changing. Like the lyrics that you write, you have no idea, could absolutely change somebody's life. So it's something that I wish that I had taken more seriously and had more patience with, instead of just being like, I gotta have it and I gotta have it now.
Yeah. But I also appreciate the longevity of country music, to be able to continue your career well into your prime age, right? Like think about it in pop music, or even like, unless you're a huge rock artist, like your longevity is up until you, what, you're like 40, 45, maybe 50. And then it starts to decline in your career, or you just are tired of it and you're done with it. But country music seems to have that part where you can still be singing at 75, you can still be singing at 80, and people are still going to show up to your show. And it's not just going to be the 80-year-olds at your show, there's also going to be that 5-year-old kid that loves you just as much as that one.
Yeah
man, it's amazing. And Canadian Idol, I didn't know that you were in Canadian Idol.
I didn't make it far enough to like be a big thing.
No,
what did you sing? And actually, my parents didn't sign off on the sheet that allows you to like.
Well, you're already skipping school, right? Might as well forge the signature too.
Yeah. Well, I had done like "Amazed by You," my Lone Star.
Oh yeah.
Like that's what was big back then. Like at that point in time, like Goo Goo Dolls, "Iris," right? Like So.
Now, did you do your own rendition, or did you try to step up into Lone Star's pitch?
Oh, no. I kept it where I'm good and happy.
Bravo, sir. Bravo.
So, I would never have been able to hit that. So.
Oh, man. Right? I've done it, but I can only do it once, and you will not get me to sing another song afterwards. My voice is shot after.
Hilarious.
So Round of Life, like, man... This song has 50,000 plays in just over a month.
Yeah, we're working on almost month and a half now or so.
Yeah. Like that. Wow. That's a great. And I mean, don't get me wrong, you've had other songs there that are pushing 50,000 as well in your playlist.
It takes I have been ridiculously surprised with how well it's gone. Like there's a ton more like playlist ads that are out there. You know, when you go to pitch it to Spotify, mm-hmm. it added so many more playlists, like editorial playlists, and that like that I ever had with Christian music. Like way more. Like I mean, like I was like doing backflips.
Wow.
But like there's different ways of like I'm not, it's not all like organic, like in terms of like I'm running an ad for it, so it like drive people to the Spotify ad, right? So like so I mean, like I have a background in social media, so that helps, right? But
Just a tiny bit.
it's just a tiny bit. But I mean, it's been really wild to see how things have like progressed. Like, and I've like hardly done any like ad work. Like it's basically just been like people like people hearing it via the Spotify playlist and then like adding it to their playlist. And
That's
so
wicked. Well, how about we get through into the round of life here and we talk about this song. So, how did this song come about for you?
yeah, well, I mean, so COVID has been really great for me in terms of being able to like write with people that I would never have been able to before, because when everything stopped, and then they had like time to pick up the phone and be like, "Hey man, I'll write with you." And so at the time I was writing a lot of Christian stuff, and but I kept on like reflecting on what was going on around me, and like how crazy life was, and we have six kids, so
Yes, you heard
it's
that right, everybody. Six kids.
yeah, six kids. So I've got like one that won't go to bed until like midnight. You can put her to bed at 7:30, but she doesn't go to bed till midnight. But then you got ones that'll like come into our room at 5:30 in the morning and just be like ready to go, right? It's a battle, just
I
period.
only shake my head because I know exactly what you mean right now.
But I wanted to sometimes we can look, you can look at a life like this and go, man, like it's messy. Like I wish that we could do better, like in terms of like, like our house, like our like it, I'm it's but to me it's like, one day we're gonna look back on this time and we're gonna miss it and go, man, where are the screaming kids? Where are the clothes everywhere? Where's the pile of laundry? Where are the toys? Because like, these times matter. And I'd rather order up another round of this craziness than not have it, right?
How
So,
old are the kids?
12, 12, 8, almost 7, almost 6, and almost 4-year-old twins.
4-year-old twins?
Yeah.
Nice. Wow. My man, that's some work.
Yeah. It was basically like the last like four or five were pretty much back to back.
All right, so Round of Life. So, I mean, it's an absolutely incredible song. So now that you have this song written down and you've got it for the family, did you have your band come into a studio or did you hire studio musicians?
No, so I actually I did I pretty much did the exact same way that I did for my latest worship album. Was like I was very fortunate to know very talented people. So basically I was able to like hire one person in Nashville to cut one part, hire somebody in Colombia to do another part. Like have somebody in Canada do another part, and basically I sat back and kind of went, okay, I like this, let's do this, what about this, can we add this? But yeah, like technology is awesome, right? Like I like basically I just did all like the pre-production stuff, put it like wrote it all out, sent it off, and And my one buddy was just like, "Hey, like, do you like this? What do you think of this?" And I was like, "I love that. That's great. Perfect. That's yeah, perfect, awesome." So yeah, very very but that's how I've been doing kind of everything, and it's cost me next to nothing. Like that's just because it's like just people that want to be invested in you and invest in a great piece of work, right?
So. Mm-hmm. Did you get any producers with this single as well, or? Or did you self-produce?
I basically self-produced it. Nice. I mean, one dude, Ariel, is like he put a lot more work into it in terms of like a bunch of different instruments. Mm-hmm. So I'd say if there was anybody that kind of had a producer credit, it'd be him for sure. Nice. So yeah, I mean, he's phenomenal. If you want his contact info, I'll give it to you later. But yeah,
we'll put it right up underneath the bottom of the screen for every single person.
But yeah, no, he's really great. My buddy Jonathan Turner, he's out of Louisiana, and he does the background vocals, mixing and mastering on it. So it's pretty sweet when they can do them all.
Yeah, right.
Multi-talented people. So.
Unlike me.
Well, I can't do it either. You should hear the demos that I come up with.
Man, I feel sorry for my band sometimes because I'll send them something and be like, yeah, we're going to play this live. And they're like, what is this?
Yeah, what this doesn't sound right.
My buddy messaged me. I sent him a video of me playing a song the other day. And the first thing he said to me, he's like, your guitar's out of tune.
Isn't that demo. Like that? Yeah, I hear that all the time. Yeah,
that's fine. They play the guitar. They make me sound way better than I should be. But anyway, so before your release, now how long did you have this song in hand, fully mastered, ready to go before you released it?
It's funny. This whole time has been a little bit weird for me because as I told you before, I'm a pretty impatient person. When I have something ready to go, I like to just go with it. But it's funny. So my worship album, I've been sitting on for an entire year. Because normally I would have, like, prior to COVID, I was touring. We actually, yeah. I had 65 dates that we ended up not being able to do. Yeah. So it's, my inner part is like, how do I release this when I can't tour it? But when it came to the country stuff, I think I was like maybe a month and a half before I released it. And it was just kind of like, well, you know what? I want to release this just because I want to take the opportunity to put this out and say, you know, like, I love my wife. I love my kids. Mm-hmm. I may not be able to go out on tour, but I'm going to put it out to radio and see how it goes. And, you know, I wasn't expecting what's happening. You know, like it's not like I've been picked up by a ton of stations. There's 25 stations that have picked it up. I'm still waiting and hoping on Sirius XM, Mr. Tim, right? still waiting on that. But there's just been a ton of love and feedback that I've gotten out of this, and that I really was not expecting. And so I'm really, really happy about that.
I mean, it's an absolutely incredible tune. From the first time you sent it to me, I was hooked on it. And then I went over and I clicked on your stuff and I was like, okay, like, who is Jeff? Who is Jeff? Because I'm a brand new artist. If you didn't live in Thunder Bay, Ontario, or you didn't travel through here before, odds are I probably didn't know you until COVID happened and I expanded. So once COVID happened, it was just like a bomb went off. And then all of a sudden I'm like seeing artists from all over the place. And it all happened through the Canadian Indie Country Countdown and through other like avenues like that. Right. So when you sent me that track, it was wow. Like you can feel the emotion and the heartfeltness in that song.
Nice, dude. It's amazing. The community actually that's built in since the last time I was here, like since the last time I was in country. Mm-hmm. The community is way different, like way different
now, more family than
yeah
rivals. Yep.
Yeah, like way more like let's lift each other up. Let's let's promote each other's music. Like, really cool.
And see, I always grew up with that aspect in my head, right? Like, you see on TV all the time, like Johnny Cash, you know, it's like cutthroat business here. Everybody always tells you like it's the worst business to get into. Everybody's always stepping on your toes and all that kind of stuff. So in my head, I had that aspect going into everything. And then I realized like, nah, like everybody's really awesome. They're this person's helping me do this and I'm helping this person do that. And that person's help, like, this is really awesome.
Yeah. It's been really, really neat. Yeah.
It's really cool. It's beautiful. So yeah. So before you released, did you set up to have trackers and like a publicist and everything with that as well? Or were you going in there gun ho ready to do it yourself?
I've always been a gung ho do it yourself type of person, but then I've also learned from that. So I did end up getting somebody else to do the tracking for me. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing is that people have relationships that are built up that, that are already there, you know, they can knock on the door for you and open it up. And you know, I figured that this song was going to be one that maybe didn't do so well because I'm like a brand new artist all over again. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to do well. I wanted it to at least open up a little bit of a door, for myself and being able to meet some people. So did that. And then, I was doing a lot of the PR stuff myself. Like I do my own like ads and
stuff
like that. So, I'm very fortunate to have been doing this like a long time, and just kind of know already kind of what to do and what not to do and what buttons to push. It's been fun. I enjoy doing a lot of the stuff myself though.
How much time would you say do you spend on your social media and your PR?
Probably too much. my wife would say too much.
Would probably tell you that they beat you no problem on their phones, but
yeah, well, they're all still little, but yeah, they're getting there. It's your career, right? Mm-hmm. Like so your career has to take the time for you to learn how to do the things that you want to do. I mean, you know, when I got into the Christian industry, I started out by making my own lists of radio stations. So that was in Canada, that was in US, that was all over the world. So like I'm a list guy. So I went out and I created my own list for that. And then like started building the relationships with those people. And so there's a lot of work. There's a lot of late nights. Like, you know, there's like, a lot of the time it's like 2 o'clock in the morning and you're still working on something. Mm-hmm. And maybe it doesn't seem like it's big and flashy because it's not like a TikTok video, but it's the list building and like getting all the copyright ready for something else. And so there's a lot of that stuff. It's not just it's like, you know, like it takes you X amount of time to become like a pro at say playing guitar or learn your X amount of hours. You still got to put those hours into the things. Cause basically you're your own little record label, right?
Mm-hmm. Like you're your own business,
So if you don't do all the other things right, then, you either need to spend the money to hire those people, or learn how to do it
yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree with you on that one. So after the release, did you just close your, how close of an eye did you keep on your numbers? Were you like, cause I have a tendency to look at my Spotify for artists every single damn day.
And I do.
How many likes did I get today? Or like on Apple, how many people Shazammed my song today to figure out who I was?
I probably spend, I'll look at the Spotify for artists every day.
Mm-hmm.
I will. But mainly because I've been in shock. Like,
fair enough. I mean, like when you start hitting those numbers, yeah, it's just like, when I hit
20,000, I was like, wow, like I'm going to fall off pretty soon.
Yeah.
and now it's up like to 57,000. And like,
and it's a month and a half. So like, you honestly still probably have a month and a half left of like good quality time for that song to be at least high up on the playlist until they start like moving down or getting taken off with new songs and whatnot. So that song could be 100K.
Maybe. Hopefully. Man, can you imagine? It started to slow down quite a bit though. Now, like as soon as it went over 50,000, like yeah. it's I mean, for what it's been doing, like it's starting to now like dwindle. Like okay, it's yeah. like you can see the trend of it slowing down. Like it took a long time to get to 57 after 50. You know what I mean? So like even if, I mean it's whatever, a couple hundred plays a day, I'll take it. Like right? Like who am I kidding? Like it used to take me with Christian music, it used to take me like all year to get to like 10,000 plays, right? Mm-hmm. So and that was with no like playlisting or anything. Yeah. Like for some reason Spotify, when you try to like pitch it to them, mm-hmm. and with Christian music, it doesn't go anywhere. It like there's not, it's almost like they don't have enough playlists of stuff, or like you can't compete with that group, which is so weird. It's so, it's interesting. It's a, it's different. It's different between the two so much.
That's actually kind of odd. Because you would assume that the avenues would be kind of similar in retrospect.
Well, I would imagine that they are, but I never figured out what I was doing with that. Like in terms of, you know, anything like. But it's funny because my new single, it's called Healing Power with Christian stuff. I think it's got a couple thousand like streams on it, but I think that the country people are going to see these other worship things, right? So I think that that's probably rubbing off on that. But
and even like your other songs, like even though they are a country or gospel or Christian based, like you can still have the story mean more to you than what the words mean.
Yeah,
so like even your Round of Life song is still in my mind a gospel song, but it's more towards your family than your other music usually is, correct?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So, I mean, and you, like I said before, the workings in between gospel and country music have been so intertwined that I honestly feel like they should be kind of mingled up. And I think Carrie Underwood's new album, I mean, just goes to show how close they are in relation.
Yeah, well, she just did one of my favorite bands is Need to Breathe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. She just did a song with them, and like it's phenomenal. It's amazing. Oh, yeah. Music is a big thing. It connects, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
big time. So what would you say is the main reason for your success? If you could pinpoint one aspect from everything that's gone right in right and getting ready for this release, what would you say is one of the main points that you would say that really helped you succeed in your numbers this go around?
Golly. I think it's just, when it comes to country music, I came in with already with having years of failure,
mm-hmm.
And not doing things right and learning from those things.
Do you have any of those in your head that you could like pinpoint right now? Like anything that you were like, oh man, I did this and found out that it just did not work.
Like rushing production, signing with labels that didn't really have your best interests at heart, basically wasted money on people, managers, it's just like I think that I wanted to when I first did, or when my last country album they did, it was terrible. So, like, the songs were good, it's stuff, but like, it just didn't turn out well. And I think that I wanted it so bad that something that it hindered me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that the process of trying to get buddies to be involved and cut the parts, you know, like, you know, your band's, and this isn't the same thing for everybody, mm-hmm. but my band was in the studio, guys, right? Yeah. My band was good. It was good for, like, playing it live. They loved, you know, they loved putting on a show,
yeah,
but they weren't studio guys, right? And so, you know, they should have spent the money on proper people, like on proper PR, on like hiring a tracker properly, relationships yeah. are a huge part of the industry, and mm-hmm. In any industry and anything that you do, relationships is such a huge, huge thing. And I feel like I wasted those moments of, like, you know, I could have or should have been humbled. Like, you know, I don't want to say that I was a dick, but like, I just didn't pay attention to those, to that. I didn't humble myself. I didn't think, wow, this person has tons of experience that they're trying to shed light on, mm-hmm. on me with. I'm just super amped about myself because they want to work with me, you know? So it's one of those things where you kind of got to go, man, like, you were a kid, and now that I'm a man, I've made my mistakes, I've learned from them. Like, you know, I sat back and I looked at everything and said, you know, this is how you put together a really good song and a really good project. These are the things and the steps that I want to take in order to make sure that I do it right this time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, put it out that way. That was a long answer to your question, but
that's all right.
Because there's so much, right?
Yeah, like, exactly. That's why I wanted to do a podcast. I didn't want it to be just these short little one question interviews, because there is so much to break down in just a little bit.
Yeah, like there's, you know, and I don't want to keep like harping back on like me being a dick type of thing, but like, but it does, like, it tells such a story, you know, like, you know, and I've come across people that I work with, that are managers of different artists that just thought they were the bee's knees, mm-hmm. and they had great potential, but they just failed because they thought they could do it better on their own.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, it's a people business, and you gotta treat people well.
So. Exactly. You get what you give.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Totally.
Jeff, this is awesome. I love this. Man. So for the 16-year-old, now you touched on it briefly, but I always ask my guys and girls that come on this show, what advice would you give 16-year-old Jeff Caddo for what's next in his career? Like,
I would probably tell the 16-year-old me, to slow it down, look a little bit more for Jesus, than what I was, because, you know, that pit that I fell into in terms of just, you know, hitting rock bottom was pretty hard. And, you know, there's more to life than music, but, you know, there's great things in music,
mm-hmm.
and if you can be a good person, and you can you know, love on people and pour into people, you know, music will come, and those songs will come, and they'll be the right songs. They won't be just ones about wanting to, you know, get with women and,
yeah,
who can drink more. And, you know, there's more to being a man than who can drink the most beer. Right.
True that.
And I would probably tell my 16-year-old that there's more to being a man than who can drink the most beer.
So. Yeah, fair enough. I mean, with you, we could almost say, what would you say to your 16-year-old daughter or son coming up? Like,
yeah, well, I mean, I probably had those conversations with a little bit of conversation with my oldest daughter. But it's funny because I've been writing a song that's kind of revolves around that. Is like, like specifically for my boys,
mm-hmm.
you know, you know, the sins of the father type of thing. You know, I don't want those to trickle down to my kids and those, you know, picking up those tendencies. Cause it's like, you know, my dad was a bit of a play guy too, you know? So, you know, so it just kind of comes down.
Yeah.
So, but
apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Same on this side.
Yeah. So, I think one of the things is I'm going to be keeping my boys grounded and in line. And you know, how to treat a woman, you know, my wife is my queen. It's taken, a lot of ups and downs and forgiveness, to make marriage work. Right. And I hope that my kids see that, you know, like, I don't try to hide, I'll never hide anything from my past from my kids. But in an attempt to let them know that, hey, you can be better than this, right? Like, yeah, you can do better. So that's what I'll be telling them. That's what I'll be showing them, is hopefully they'll just see, right? And
yeah,
and like the things that I'll be cheering them on for won't be like, oh, you got in a fight, did you win? Right? like that won't be the,
yeah,
the, you know, as much as like the dad and me will be like, yeah, all
right. Yeah, but, right, but, on. Not
yeah, but that, yeah, but that won't be,
that'll be behind that closed doors at nighttime when they're sleeping.
That's right. You know, I want my kids to take care of their own, but I want them to love people first, mm-hmm. and stand up for the people that don't have anybody standing beside them, and just love God, right?
Absolutely.
At the end of the day. So
couldn't have said it better myself, my man. Jeff, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to chat with us today. It has been absolutely incredible.
Oh, you're a gentleman, man. I've really enjoyed this. Go Leafs. I don't know.
Yes, I was going to bring it up. That was going to be one of my last final questions. What do you got? What's your score tonight?
I don't care as long as they win.
Oh, man.
Let's say 3-1.
Okay. I'm still good. I want, just for the sheer awesome of it, it's going to go to overtime tonight and the Leafs are going to take it in OT.
That'd be pretty sweet.
And it's going to be a comeback win.
Who do you got as the OT hero?
Marner. Yeah, I got Mitchie winning it. Or, I mean, oh, man, you could pick a few on our team. Nylander. Look, Nylander can just keep lighting it up. Like, that would be wicked.
He probably will. Dude, you know who's the – I don't know if this is going to continue on the podcast, but you know who's been awesome is Galley, like Galchenyuk.
Yeah. Yo,
like,
what, right?
A pickup. What a redemption story that guy is, right? Oh, like,
just incredible. I cannot get over it. Like, I've
– my. It's funny, man. I was talking to my brother and I was like, man, like, I love Campbell. Like, it's about time that he got his shot type of thing. Mm-hmm. But and I shouldn't be nervous about it. Like, he makes me less nervous than Anderson does.
He does.
But like, he's just like an unknown commodity, right? And you're just like, I don't know if I should be like okay with him playing, right? Well, like, because he did so well.
Yeah, we've like, seen it in the past that we've seen these no-name goaltenders all of a sudden show up in the playoffs with a whole new set of body armor on. But at the same time, like, I totally get it, because there could be that one game where he just like is Swiss cheese and that's it, gone. All that mojo just ceases, and then, no offense to Freddie Anderson, but then we got to rely on Freddie Anderson.
I know. And I don't think I'd go for him, or like, I'd go for Riddick probably over
Freddie. I'd go for the Zamboni driver right now.
Yeah.
Call up Carolina. He did a great job.
Yeah, totally.
Back on topic now, Jeff. What's next for your music? Have you got any new music that you're already working on?
Oh, dude. So my this whole project of Round of Life was it's based off of an EP that I've made called Songs for My Wife. 'Cause that's what this whole thing was about, was just writing songs for my wife and my kids.
That is so beautiful.
Isn't that just like
I'm not letting my girlfriend hear this podcast now, Jeff. Thanks.
a Yeah, so every song is dedicated to my wife. So but
No
so
competition there. Jesus.
No competition there. So I'm sending that out. Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. Where can people find you on social media, sir?
You can find me at any of the social medias under Mr. Jeff Catto. And you can also go to my website at www.jeffcatto.com.
That's CATTO.
That's right. CATTO. So, yeah, you find me on there. Pop in, say hi, say what's going on, say your pictures look weird. You know, whatever.
Bad publicity is still publicity. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast, sir.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
Take care. So there you have it, everyone, my amazing interview with Jeff Catto. Be sure to go check out his music on all major streaming platforms. His latest country single, Round of Life, is again over 50,000 streams and climbing. So go support this incredible artist and like and support all of his social medias by searching at Mr. Jeff Catto. My name is Tim Albertson. You can come check out my music at www.timalbertsonmusic.ca. Also, make sure to go follow us on Facebook and YouTube, where we premiere the live video of our interviews with the live chats with the artists. Just search the Canadian Country Music Podcast. Also, if you're an artist and you have some insight you want to share about your experience, please email us at theccmcast@gmail.com. Next week, guys, we have part two of mine and Hendrick from Soundcheck Entertainment's conversation. I decided to post this one because I want to take a quick break because episode 10 is going to be incredible. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a hint. Right now, the Boots and Hearts Emerging Artist Showcase is going on right now. I have also entered into it, as well as many, many friends of mine. And on episode 10, we're talking with the gentleman who won this competition last year. So please, please be sure to check us out on Facebook to get more information. As soon as we can, we are announcing who we have on this show. Or if you know your country music history, you already know who it is. So until next week, everyone, remember that love is always free. See you all next time. And please, please take care of each other. Mwah!